morning, everybody. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. I'm glad to hear you're excited. Go ahead and make your way from the cafe over here, and we're going to get started. Stand and worship with us.
This morning on a wonderful Father's Day, I want to welcome you to Cornerstone. I want you to take just a minute and greet the people around you. Let them know that you're glad that they're here, and then you can have a seat after that. Well, again, let me welcome you to Cornerstone this morning. Glad you're here. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. We're excited that you've joined us. I'm cutting in and out. Let me see here. Several things. First, if you're a dad, we have a special table set up just for you back in the cafe. It has got ham biscuits, sausage biscuits, sweet tea, a Coke, and a moon pie. You can't get any better than that. A Coke and a moon pie. So there you go. So want to just, anytime if you want to get up, kind of slide over there, it's fine. You're at Cornerstone. You can do that. So, got that for all the dads here today. Got several announcements. When you came in, if you got a worship guide, there's several announcements in here. We have a service day, Servolution Service Day coming up, and we're really excited about this. We're just going to tackle a whole bunch of projects around the community, and here's what we need from you guys. If you are wanting to take part in this, we would love for you to sign up. We have a sign-up sheet at the resource table. We need to have a good idea of how many people are helping with this. It's on June 21st from 8 to 4 p.m., and that is this upcoming Saturday. So if you're going to help with this, please, please sign up. We've got projects from repairing porches for some residents around the area. We've got some landscaping stuff. We've got some cleanup stuff. We've got all sorts of different projects. We've got some work at the soup kitchen as well. We're going to do some fixing up there for their facility as well. Lots of different projects. So if you want to help with this, please sign up over at the resource table or talk to Randy, and we'll get you fixed up. He's got the T-shirts on, the work hard, play hard, pray hard, Galatians 6:10, servolution. So he's our model. Phew. I'm sorry. Got that going on. We have got a kids event coming up on June 27th. We've got a fishing event for the boys, a princess party for the girls. We've got a shoot and cue men's retreat on the June 28th. The information's in here for that. And there's also a sign-up sheet over there for it as well. We've got a baby dedication coming up in July. We've got your baby bottles that you've been collecting change for the Crisis Pregnancy Center or the Tri-Area Pregnancy Center. They're due back today. So if you forgot them, it's not the end of the world, but get them to us as quickly as you can. We'll get them to the Pregnancy Center, and that's a great fundraiser for them. We've got life group signups going on. We've got a new series starting next week. I'm excited about this. We've got a series starting next week called Happily Ever After. And we're going to be talking about marriage. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about preparing for marriage. Next week is honestly a very important message about preparing for marriage. And I'll give you a heads up. It's like, since we're talking about preparing for message, it's really probably a PG-13 type message. So it'd be a great week for your kids to check out Cornerstone Kids Ministry. I give you a week in advance notice. So, and our kids will be upstairs for worship, and then they'll all go down together. Great time to get them involved with Cornerstone Kids next week. It won't be too bad, but I'm looking forward to the message. It's an important one, for all of us. And so we've got that going on. And I just, again, at Cornerstone, there's always a lot of events going on. The summertime, it seems like, I know a lot of people are on vacation, a lot of people are traveling. But when we meet, we still meet with a purpose. And we're going to praise God. We're going to lift Him up. It's awesome having our youth lead worship this morning and seeing our teens up here leading worship and Eugene. And this morning, we're just going to continue to lift up the name of Jesus. We've got a really special service. We've got our Top Guns men's ministry that's doing a special service, part of the service this morning. We've got our mission team from Nicaragua sharing about our trip. And, man, there's going to be some awesome stories about Nicaragua you'll hear this morning. So we're just lots of things to be thankful for this morning. Would you join me in prayer before we continue on? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much that we can come into this place, that we can worship You, that we can lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, this morning as we prepare ourselves to hear some testimonies of how You are working in the lives of people here at Cornerstone, help us to remember that You work in all of our lives as believers, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, and that the Holy Spirit empowers us to go out and serve our community. It empowers us to go out and serve this entire world in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, I pray that as we lift up Your name this morning, we can just think about how You're at work all around us. Will You give us spiritual eyes to see Your incredible work around us? It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
All right, please stand and continue worship with us. opportunity to come here, worship you, just to fellowship with other Christians, Lord. I pray for the people here. I pray that you just help them to listen to your word, Lord. And I pray that you just help them to have an open heart. And I pray that you just bless Mike as he brings the message. I pray that you help it all to go smoothly, and that we can all hear what we need to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's a good video, wasn't it, this morning? We want to welcome you again to Cornerstone. We do have a very special service planned today. We've got really a service where we've got several people sharing and giving testimonies. Let me tell you about something that we started 2 years ago to kind of kick off this morning. 2 years ago, we started a new life group called the Top Guns Men's Group, and it was a two-year commitment. A huge time commitment, and we had several guys who kind of stepped out in faith to join in this life group. And over the past 2 years, as they've been meeting together, man, they've been able to serve together, learn together, and they've really grown close. And for Father's Day, we thought it would be awesome, since this group is just now finishing up, to give them a chance to share about what they've learned. I think it's an encouraging message for all of us dads. So, Larry, if you would come on up. Larry Van Hoos has been the leader of this group, and I'm kind of going to turn over this part of the service to him and let him share a little bit about the ministry and what God's been doing through that, and we're just excited about it.
Let's see if I can get this technology to work. All right, how are you this morning? I thought that when Mike first proposed that we do this in joint service with the mission team, it was really perfect, because one of the last things that we're covering in the Top Gun group is what is our mission. And the truth be told, our mission field starts when we walk out that door every Sunday. And we just kind of come back here into the following Sunday to get recharged. But I realized years ago that as much as I love Sunday morning service, it wasn't enough. And I'll tell you, the way I got there was the hard way. I don't know how many of you that I've told my story, but about 10 years ago this time, you know, about the time Cornerstone was starting up, my wife and I had been out of churches all over in Allegheny County, and our marriage was really coming to a close. And it was a really hard time for me. And, I mean, I was faced with the proposition of losing my family, losing my wife, losing my marriage of 20 years. And, you know, to top it off, I was dealing with something that I had personally never dealt with before, and that was severe depression. And I think that probably contributed to the marital woes. But, I mean, when I got to the point of, for the first time in my life, feeling suicidal, I thought, okay, I've got to do something. And by this time, I was already separated from my wife, and I went to go to the church that I'd always wanted to go to, and when I pulled into the driveway, there was my ex-wife's car, and it was very frustrating for me because I had never been able to get her to go to church, not since we had lived here. We moved to this area in 97. When I lived in Arizona, we had been part of a couple of church startups, and we had been really committed. But as we came out here, one of the first things that I discovered when I got in this area was that the churches here weren't the same as I was used to. You know, they were, you know, Cornerstone hadn't even started at the time. They were very much more old-timey, and I was uncomfortable. And so we hopped from church to church, and my kids hated the churches out here. I'll just tell you, I'll be honest. And so there was a lot of battles that went on in Sunday morning. And so when I pulled out of the driveway of that church and just said, now what am I going to do? You know, the one church that I thought I could go to, I felt closed off because I felt like she got there ahead of me. And I prayed. And the interesting thing was that I think it was Monday or Tuesday of that same week, my daughter had a science fair project. She had won the local area, and we went to the regionals. And I met a guy there, and he comes to the church sometimes here. His name was Tommy Andrews. And he invited me to this new church that had started up in Allegheny County, and the name of it was Cornerstone. And I think the very first service that I went to, they invited me to go to the Promise Keepers down in Charlotte, I think it was, or maybe Columbia. And so I signed up. I mean, I was really kind of, I had no direction in my life. And so pretty much anything anybody suggested, I went with it. So, you know, it's like, well, it can't hurt, you know. I wanted to end my life, so I really didn't care what I did with my life. So I went to Promise Keepers, and it was a couple of days just focused on men, and I felt just a little bit of life. And I came back the next Sunday, and this guy came up on stage, just like I'm doing now, and he talked about something that they had just done for the first year at Cornerstone. It was called Top Gun Ministry. And he introduced the program, which turned out not to be a program really at all. We call it Top Gun Fellowship here because we don't stick necessarily to a program. You know, it's about getting to know and rely on one another. And Tommy, I was sitting next to him. He said, you need to sign up for that. So, you know, being the obedient person, I went up and signed up for it. And again, I was still just kind of going with the flow because I had no real direction. And over the next 2 years, you know, Top Gun there is a one-year program, and then you have an option for the second year. So over the next 2 years, I went faithfully. I never missed a class. And it really kind of turned my life around. Right towards the end of that, I met my current wife, Trina. And at the end of that, there started up another one, and I signed up for that one too. And I was going to be the facilitator for that one. We don't call it the leader because you ask the guys, we all take turns leading the class. In our group particular, because there was eight-week sessions, we all took 8 weeks. And I facilitated the first 8 weeks. Well, while I was in that second set of 2 years, I decided that, you know what? Trina and I, if we're going to do things the godly way, we had to get married. And so we did. I mean, here I am now 3 years into learning how to be a godly man. And I started living what I believed. Up till then, I believed all kinds of things, but I never really acted on it. And made a huge, huge impact on my life when I started to take that first step. And then there was another step. Go ahead and put up the first slide. You see down here at the bottom, it says, this is a man of good character. And these are some descriptions of a man of good character. I know some guys like that meet some of these attributes, but there's very few men that meet them all. Said a good man is a loving man. He's a happy man. He's fun to be around. He's a peaceful man. He's a patient man. If you've got kids, you have to be patient or you're going to have troubles. He's a kind man, a good man, a faithful man, a gentle man, and a strong man. All those things combined make a man of good character. And I'll be honest with you, that's an intimidating list for a man. We see that day in and day out. That's the template that's held up before us. And it's a little bit overwhelming. Sometimes some men just decide they're not even going to try to live up to that template. Let's go to the next scripture. This is in Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 16 through 21. I'm just going to read it to you. I'm sure you can read. But so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And these are the results that I had trying to live up to that template to be a good man. You know, I had good intentions, but these are the results that a lot of us find from our good intentions. sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone that living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here you are as a man. As you're growing up, you get presented this template that said this is a good man. And these are the kind of results you get trying to do that on your own. Fortunately, in Galatians, Paul doesn't leave us there. But the Holy, let's see, is that it? Yeah, but the Holy Spirit produces. Okay, this is the key words right there. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified him there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our life. So that's a pretty simple recipe. You nail your sinful nature to the cross, live by the Spirit, follow the Spirit's leading in every part of your life, and you won't produce those results that we're all really afraid of. Now, I was out running yesterday towards the evening as it cooled off, and I got down on Edmonds Road, and there was a bunch of young adults, I'll call them, giving me a hard time as I ran by. And the nice thing about where I run is I have to go out and come back. There's no big loop. Well, actually, there is a big loop, but we ain't running that today. So I decided to take the shorter 4-mile run. I ran out 2 miles and back two. So I ran by this house, and they were giving me a hard time. And then as I was running back by, one of them says, "Why are you running, old man?" And it just popped out of my mouth. I didn't even really think about it. You know, I was in good mood. I said, well, there's this old fat guy chasing me. And if he catches me, he's going to take over my body. And they all laughed. They got a kick of that. But as I ran on, I realized how true that was. You know, if that old man gets me, you know, it's not going to be a pretty sight. And that's true with the things of the Spirit, too. You know, a different way to, in the NIV for this scripture, it says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what we try to do in Top Gun Ministry, is we're not perfect. You know, I got an argument with my youngest daughter Thursday. I mean, it was a pretty bad argument. But by Friday, we were fine again because I sought God and said, okay, how do I repair this? You know, we're not perfect fathers. We're not perfect husbands. We're not perfect employees. But we're doing our best to keep in step with the Spirit. And that's what the goal is with Top Gun. Go to the next slide. So here's the template that we have. Loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, strong. Go on. And this is the fruit of the Spirit. They look familiar, don't they? I mean, God wants the same thing for us that we want for us. But it's produced. Notice it says at the bottom, a man of godly character. Not just good character, but godly character. That godly character is produced by the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I just tell you, I'm living proof no matter how many religious things you're involved in, it won't get you to heaven. It won't cause you to have a good marriage or a good family life. It takes God in your life. And I've said it before to y'all, nobody else can do that for you. So when we first talked about doing the new Fellowship of Top Gun, we found that it was actually 8 sessions, 8 weeks long. And it really took us 2 years to get through it. That's a huge time commitment. But now that we've done it, it was nothing. Because we realize you never really need to get out of the relationship that you develop with your friends and your family. These guys are my best friends now. We'll do anything for each other. You guys come on up. And we had 6 of us. So the first service, we've got Josh, Ramey, Chris, and Jeff. Chris Belcher and Greg Williams. These guys, come on up on the stage. It's okay. I don't like it any more than you do. These guys didn't know what they were getting themselves into for. And I really didn't either. You know, the interesting thing is that the curriculum for this actually changed just when I came to Cornerstone here. And so I had to take it all over again. I couldn't cheat and not do the homework or do the reading. And I'm so glad I couldn't, because we really learned this together. We grew together. And I'm not sure what's going to become of these guys, but we're going to be there together. You know, we've committed to continuing to meet once or twice a month, just to continue that fellowship, that accountability. And I want to give them an opportunity to speak too, because it's not really about me. I mean, I'm going to continue in Top Gun. I'm going to be here. We're going to start another group in September. And I've got my clipboard if you guys want to make that commitment now. I promise you, you know, like I said, we thought, oh, it's a two-year commitment. But no, it's really a lifetime commitment to seek after God, to learn how to keep in step with Him together. You don't have to do it alone. So that's the good news. You might not always agree with everything that we say to each other, but just like me and my daughter the other night, we love each other. We're family. And families forgive. Move on. So I've got some stuff for you. Go to the last slide, the one of the Ronaldo. I met this guy a couple of months ago, and he played 14 years in the NFL. His name was Ronaldo Wynn. And he was standing there by himself, setting up a table at this conference. I started talking to him, and he was telling me about the things that he was doing with Joe Gibbs Ministry. It's called the Game Plan for Life. And I said, you know, that's kind of cool. We do something similar, a men's ministry at the church where I attend. And I told him about it, and he goes, man, that's great. I'd like to meet your guys. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, you give me your address, and I'm going to send you a gift for them. So I've got something from Ronaldo for each one of you, and I'm going to grab that while you guys get a chance to speak. Chris, is Wendy going to talk? We're going to have a couple of the wives come up, too. I tell you, that's really where the rubber meets the road. You let your wives talk about you. So, Josh, you first.
Sure, I guess. Unfortunately, these guys had to put up with 2 years of my jokes. this really was an undertaking when you think about 2 years. It first seemed that way. And we're all sitting across the table from each other. You know, it's that awkward thing of guys. We're all kind of introverts anyway, by nature, I think. And going around getting to know each other and sharing our deepest, darkest secrets. That's not easy when you don't know, a bunch of guys. And but we all actually took a covenant and signed it that, you know, everything stayed in that room just between us. And that was one of the great things, is we could share anything that was going on in our lives at that moment and confide in these guys. And, you know, things that you don't normally just go out to, Joe on the street and talk about, we could tell everything to these guys. And we knew we had, Christian backup there. Guys that we could run things across. You know, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? Could be from job to family to, anything. The real reason that I got into this is because I wanted to better myself for my family. If you want to do the best for your family, this is a good way to start out, guys. It talks about in First Chronicles how David wanted to make a magnificent, mine just went blank, talking about building the house for God. He wanted it to be known around the world, that this was the Lord's house. And he did preparation and that type of thing. And, we want to be known as, Christ followers and that type of thing. It's not just how you live inside, but how you live outside. So this is a good way to start. And I'm horrible at this, so here you go.
let's bring Karen up first. Get a chance to.
Thanks for being first in line.
well, I will make this short and sweet. But over the past 2 years, our family has gone through a lot of ups and downs with some different things. And it's been nice to know that he always had these guys that he could confide in and they could pray together for our family. And it's been great to see him grow and change and become even more of a spiritual leader in our family, and his walk get even closer with God. And it's just been an amazing time, and I'm really grateful for it.
This is the book that Ronaldo sent. This was written by not just Coach Gil Giggs, but he contacted 11 famous men in sports who had really relied on God. I think Tom Landry wrote one of the chapters and things. So he sent these free charge, and Ronaldo wants to come and speak to the church sometime. So we're praying about that very now. He wants to speak not just to the church, but possibly to the prison as well. Pray about that. Josh, here is a little certificate. This certificate in no way is a good representation of what you've put in over the last 2 years. But we're grateful. Hang that on the wall in your bathroom or somewhere.
It's really hard to take what we've gotten from the last couple of years and put it into a couple of minutes. A lot of it is really, the experience with these guys and this group is indescribable, invaluable. I guess a couple of things that that really stand out is when we started these books, they were titled Men With No Regrets. And I was certainly a man at that time with many, many regrets. I had just met Wendy. I was a single dad raising 5 kids. And I'd been divorced twice. So I had a lot of past, a lot of regrets. We had just started coming to church here, and they had shown the video, the Top Gun video, and I really wanted to make a change and start this relationship and change my life. And I thought, there were a lot of other classes going on that were 6 weeks or 8 weeks, but a 2-year commitment I can't fake through. You make a 2-year commitment and that's a big commitment. So I can honestly say since I started this class, I don't have a single regret from that time forward. It's made a huge difference. Another point that, about this class is I had, since I was a young child, heard people talk about being a disciple and what that meant. And I'd been in church, but I really never knew or never felt that I was a disciple or what it was like to disciple. But after 2 years, I can honestly say I am a disciple. I have young men now that I teach. To my kids, I have a love and compassion for just a stranger walking down the street that I never thought I would ever have. So it's an invaluable experience.
I'm very nervous, so I'll try to get through this. first of all, like Larry mentioned, Chris is your typical introvert. Before this class, he never would have even stood up here, for one thing. But now, like he said, if he feels God calling him, he'll talk to a stranger walking by if he thinks he needs to. We're both working in the kids ministry downstairs, which, you know, I work with kids all day. I'm a teacher, but, you know, when he has five kids, a lot of people think just because we have a large family that you're comfortable with anybody's kids, but that's not necessarily the case. And so he's doing things like that that is definitely God calling him to do things. And just his relationship with the Lord is so much stronger, and our family is so much different because of it. He is such a great example to me, makes me want to be, continually drives me to strengthen my relationship with Christ by his, he does things like meditate, just everything we're supposed to do. He sets the example at home. He's always been patient, but just since this class began, I see a difference in the way he communicates with the kids and with me. That's just there's an overall change. One thing I do want to say, too, for any man that is feeling like you might want to start this, but that two-year commitment just seems so daunting. When we first started, he worked nights and weekends, which was my only time off. We had six, you know, like we have six kids that are with us all the time, and it was a real struggle to decide if that was something that we wanted to take on and, you know, time away from us. But it's just made, I could sit up here and talk for hours about all the differences. So if you feel that slightest nudge, you need to sign up for it, because it certainly is life-changing.
Now, Greg here is kind of like me. His wife had to push him into the Top Gun ministry, but he listened to her, and we're glad he did. He's been a real blessing to us guys. And did your fellow come? Okay. Greg actually brought a coworker to come and speak on his behalf. So you say a couple words real quick and introduce him.
Well, most of you, if you was at the park last week, know I'm not the best of public speakers. Anyway, getting into Top Gun, I knew that I had to, we were just getting back into church, so I knew that I needed something to fill that gap from Sunday to Sunday to force me to stay focused. I was struggling with forgiveness of myself. And I knew that I was going to have to get past that. I'm sorry. I knew I was going to have to forgive myself before I could be the godly father and the godly husband that my family deserves. These guys... they were there for me. We prayed for each other. But the 2 years has flew by. And honestly, Top Gun was good for me. But it was the Holy Spirit using Top Gun to change me. And to realize that what Jesus done on the cross was my forgiveness. I would never live up to it. I could never be good enough to earn grace. But anyway, I didn't realize so much that I was changing. I mean, I knew in my mind I was working through this. But then I had people from the outside coming to me saying what changes they had seen in me. And that's when I knew that things were getting better, that hopefully I was becoming that godly man and godly father, godly husband to my family. But anyway... I don't want to sell Top Gun short, but I don't want to scare anybody away because it is a commitment. There's homework. Some of us spread it out during the week. Some of us do it on the night before class to get it done. But it does get you in the Word. And we have some really good discussions. Like Larry said, it don't we don't necessarily stick to what the book says. We get off on some rabbit trails, but they're good rabbit trails. But anyway, I encourage all you men out there, if you've not done anything on it like this, it will change. It will change your life. And one of my coworkers here, Robin Schaefer, he. Yeah, I'm not real sure how this is going to turn out. I may be running for the door.
No, I love Greg Williams. I started working with him about 5 or 6 years ago.
He's pretty loud.
I'm loud enough. I couldn't wait for this. But I watched him. He was under so much self-condemnation. I just wanted to hit him to hit the hammer every day. Wham! But, I mean, to watch him go through this Top Gun was awesome. Because it released him. It was God's avenue to get to him. And this week, I prayed to God for something special. And all it would come to was Psalms 40, verse 2. He brought me out of the dark pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Right here is Psalms 40, verse 2. He's amazing. He's the brother in Christ you want. And if anybody has any questions, he'll help you. He really will. I love working with him, and I love you, Greg. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. Yeah. I know that was hard for Greg to open up like that. I used to kid around and said, come to Top Gun, we'll teach you to cry in the public, you know? but I apologize, we went a couple minutes over there, but... I think it's exciting to see people's lives changed. One of the books we were just reading, it said one of the key principles at the very end of the chapter said, think small. And that's really what we're all about. It's not that any of these men's lives are small, but sometimes we can't change the world, but we can help our brothers, our neighbors. We love them as ourselves, and we see lives changed for the better. Anyway, that's all we got.
Great. Thanks, Larry. I don't know where to start. What a life-changing experience this study has been for me. I don't mind telling this anymore. You know, I came out of the Life Center at the end of 2012, end of December. You know, I threw myself into everything I could when I got out of the Life Center. I joined two life groups that following month in January. One was Top Gun. I started volunteering at Rooftop with Push Ministries, just threw myself into everything I could at that point. A lot of some of the struggles I had over the last few years, but... this study has really made all the difference in my life. I have been able to feel myself grow in my relationship with God over these past 2 years steadily. Every week. We've met, I think, 64 weeks with this study, and it's just what I needed at the right time. God knew just what I needed, I think, at the right time, and he provided it for me. I tell people it's amazing how God works. At that time, I didn't have a driver's license or anything. I was throwing myself in everything I could, but just coincidentally, in proximity where I live, Cornerstone is about 4 blocks down the street. The AA meetings I attend are at the Presbyterian Church, 2 blocks just the other direction. The ministry that I volunteer with, was at Rooftop, 2 blocks down the street. And then just by chance, this Bible study is on the same block I live on. I don't think that was a mistake. I know that God had a hand in that. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And I'm envious of the people that talk about having this epiphany and this just this moment with God, and they turn around on a dime at that moment. It wasn't like that for me. When I was in the Life Center in December 2012, lying in the bed with DT so bad I couldn't even get up out of bed for 3 days. I didn't pray then. I didn't pray. I mean, I really didn't have God yet at that point. But when I got out and started this life group and threw myself into Push Ministries, the other life group, I just felt myself starting growing closer with my relationship to God. And it's just been a growth process for me over the last couple of years. And I've never been closer to God than I am right now in my life. And I'm so thankful for God's grace and mercy in my life. Several people in the congregation here, you know, and the church has supported me. I thank the church and the congregation so much. Some individuals, Glenn Dixon, Travis Haynes, Tom McChesney that I work with. I thank Brian Lindbergh for stepping up and helping me out when I needed help. He came to the hospital to see me in December 2012 when they took me there by ambulance from the Life Center, the only person I had around the area at that time. And I owe so much thanks to my beautiful daughter, Haley. She has stood by me through thick and thin, through everything, for the last few years. She's been there for me. She literally saved my life more than one time in 2012, literally. So I can't thank her enough. I've got my youngest daughter, Madison, here with me today, and my son, Ryan, is here from Florida for the summer also. So I would encourage anyone that's thinking about it, man that wants to grow in his relationship with God, this life group is just what you need in order to do that. It's such a growth process, such a rewarding experience, and it's made all the difference in my life. So,
Haley, if you come up.
Bring my daughter up and let her speak. I'm a little bit nervous, but here she is.
Hi. So my dad had a really rough few years before he started this life group, and I feel like he went in just sort of looking for answers. But he came out knowing Jesus as his Savior and with peace about his past and faith in his future. And these men have encouraged him, they've supported him, and they've challenged him in ways that have been life-changing not only for him but for the rest of our family as well. It's one thing to have a dad that you know you can go to for advice about things, but it's a completely different thing when you have a dad that you know that you can go to and he's going to give you godly advice. That's awesome. And this group has definitely changed our lives, and we can't thank you guys enough for that. I can't tell you the last time that I heard my sorry, I'm not a crier. I can't tell you the last time that I even heard my dad laugh before the past couple years, and now he just cracks himself up all the time. That's a joy that he has that only comes from God. And it would take me all day to tell you guys about all the changes that I've seen in him since this life group. So I'm going to read you something that really hit me that actually he wrote on his Facebook. He doesn't know that I did this, but I'm just going to let this speak for itself. He says, "The Bible says unequivocally that we will face trials of many kinds. These trials are the intentional plan of God for the refinement of our faith. Trials are God's way of enrolling us in his character building program. Today I'm deeply grateful for these trials in my life. I have been refined by fire, fire that humbled me and caused me to once again surrender everything to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This was God's perfect plan to make me a better witness for him in the world."
That's what Type Gun's all about. Greg, there's a certificate of completion. And just appreciate the last 2 years and look forward to our life together. I And Mike and I are the old guys of the group. We struggle along. But he's just been a blessing to us, you know, as far as Mike and I have gone through a lot of the same things together. And, you know, you even in the Top Gun program, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. I told the first service, I didn't say anything to her about it, but I had a little argument with my youngest daughter this week. And you know what it takes sometimes is just to be honest and tell people how you really feel. We're not perfect. We struggle. We make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We're not always there for each other like we should be. But if we can learn to become in step with the Spirit, we can catch up. You know? Yep. Mike, you want to say a couple words?
Yep.
Sure.
Yep. Yep. We know we've all heard. I wish you guys could have heard the stories of the first three guys as well. But you know the. You've seen how close we are, and it really goes deep because all the things we've experienced together in these last almost 2 years, I guess. And but we have seen so many changes in lives and experienced so many things together. It's truly amazing. And you know, we all have different stories, but I just want to share a little bit about mine. You know, coming here to Cornerstone really was kind of a life-changing experience for me. I've been a Christian quite a while, but just really, you know, didn't have the path. And we talk a lot about vision, you know, here at Cornerstone. And, you know, being a godly man, being a godly husband and a father, you know, takes a vision. And you know, our study series Life with Me With No Regrets, it gives you that vision. And totally biblically based material, and we use a lot of scriptures in our study. And you know, when we first start out, we kind of share our past, and we got some past. I mean, we really do. And you know, the study, talking about no regrets, I probably would be the guy that, if you looked in a dictionary, men with regrets, I'd probably be beside a picture beside it. I really believe that because I've got a lot. But, you know, God shows you that no matter what, he's there for you through every situation. You know, when I've come here at Cornerstone, you know, I just gone through a hard time with divorce and things like that. But God uses each situation to grow us, and getting to know these guys and getting to know their lives and seeing how they have a lot of them as young fathers and you know, not even some got married while we were there. So in the study in 2 years, and just see how they do things and see how they we learn from each other about raising children and the moments that they have shown us how they do things. And so you're never too old to learn. And the one thing for sure, just like with Jesus, it's never over. You know, the enemy would try to tell us that even in our life, gosh, I'm old to be a father, but my children are 21 and 20, and I could still be a good father. So it's definitely not over. So I'm just so thankful for, number one, for Cornerstone, to have life groups that we can all go to. And this particular life group that, you know, at first I wasn't sure about it, but then I was a little, you know, there's a lot of commitment. But then once I, you know, the vision was cast, you know, by Larry and Donnie came from Cornerstone in Sparta. It was definitely something I wanted to do, and sure haven't looked back. And never have I been sorry 1 minute, it because it's truly been a wonderful experience. We've created a bond of friendships that last a lifetime. And the other thing is, you know, we hold each other accountable, and we'd be responsible for actions. And We've been intentional in our study and our devotion to each other. So, and I want to just thank Larry for casting that vision and being committed to this and committed to it for the future, a cornerstone. So thank you very much.
You know, one other thing that I failed to mention in the first service, but it is an important part of Top Gun, is that we do community service projects together. And sometimes I'd spring them on the guys at the last minute as a need would come to me. And they never hesitated one time to step up to the plate. You know, I'm not even going to go into all the details because it's not important. It's not about us. But it was about the need. They were always there for the need. They never hesitated. And that's, you know, you just can't help but be honored to be a part of a group of guys like that. So I appreciate you guys. And thanks for sharing.
I don't know about you guys, but I absolutely love hearing testimonies of how God is at work. All the time you hear us talk about people experiencing new life in Christ. And that's not just a saying. That goes far. What you're seeing is lives that have really been changed by the power of the gospel. When people get in God's word and they get in biblical community and then they grow and they serve together. And so what I want to do now is kind of transition to service a little bit. These guys kind of stepped out in faith and joined a group and got in biblical community and started growing together. And we also have another group here this morning that wants to share about our mission trip to Nicaragua. So we don't have a lot of people, but Travis and Ava, Lee, who else is here? Is Ashley up here? Downstairs, she'll be up here second service. Jones, y'all come on up. And what I'm going to do is I want these guys to share about some of our experiences on the Nicaragua trip. And our church has been going to Nicaragua now for about the past, I don't know, probably 8 years. And we've been going there, working with a missionary named Don Gillette, Because We Care Ministries. He's out of Roanoke, but he spends most of his time in Nicaragua. We've built up some great relationships there, and it's just been awesome to see God at work. A typical day would be maybe get up and a few people share on the radio, sharing about what God's doing. Then I said light construction. They probably disagreed with me. It wasn't light, was it?
Heavy weight.
It was hard work. Then lunch, then going out in villages, cooking meals for villages, providing medical care. It's just so much that takes place in the week. We did pastor training every day, bringing in local pastors and training them. It was just an incredible week. I know Travis and Ava got to leave soon, so I'll let you guys share first and kind of talk about. While they're sharing, I'm going to be running some pictures in the background. I know for the people that have OCD, this is going to drive them crazy. There's going to be pictures going up while they're talking. But there's some good pictures, and I'll just keep it on a loop, and so y'all can talk and share while the pictures are on.
I'll help your OCD. Don't look at us. Just look at the pictures and listen to us. We always, every highlight of every day is talking about your God moment, what you saw that day that really affected you, and some of those really powerful. So I thought about my overall one for the week. And, you know, this is my third trip. And for me, it was, we were outside a church in Ahochi, and, you know, there were missionaries inside on the front row of this church, you know, just their first time in Nicaragua, and they were just being tore down, you know, mentally and spiritually. It's kind of like basic training. You come out of there sobbing, and, you know, you give away everything you got. You're just broken. And to see that happen and know what was going on was great, because I was there my first trip. And then the second trip, I was kind of just floating around. And this time I just walked across the street from the church, and I knew what was going on inside. And I saw missionaries playing with babies and holding babies and leave and got in. Didn't you hold a baby? Everybody held babies. And then Ava was playing with the kids. Couldn't talk to them a lick, but they knew instinctively how to play with each other. And she would run from them. They would capture her, put them in jail. You know, typical game. And she was having a blast. And there were relationships. Terry Jacobs, you know, was over here talking to Roger, one of our interpreters. And they talked deer hunting and fishing and golf and baseball, and they had a huge cultural exchange the whole week. You know, Roger from Nicaragua now knows how many deer he can tag here when he comes to hunt. And just seeing all this going on and seeing the whole big picture was it for me, because it was not about just one thing. And I thought about how that relates to our church here, because I've heard people say, well, you know, overseas missions are good, but we got enough to do here. And I would say to that, hearts are changed there. And that is all a part of the ministry that goes on here, because didn't our Servolution come out of a mission trip in kind of a part? You know, and Abby, you know, been on multiple mission trips. The Cox family, they're always serving, doing something. The clothes closet's going on. And I think about all these people that have gone to Nicaragua and their hearts are broken. They come back here and they start doing stuff. So it feeds the missions back here in this area. You know, now our community meal and all these people serving. And you can point back to an experience like this at some point in their lives that makes them want to serve. So I'd encourage you to go on one of these trips. It takes a commitment. It takes a lot of money. Somebody donated a good chunk of money so Avon myself could go, and I want to thank that person. I don't know who you are, but I want to thank you. And I also want to say, if you got any doubts about going, this 8-year-old girl outperformed some people I've been with, and she didn't complain. She was as hot and sweaty as the rest of us. I left her for 2 hours at one point in a village when I had to go do a job. And she looked around when I got back, and she goes, "Where'd you go?" And Don said, "I don't want to say anything, but she didn't ask for you one time while you were gone." So if you think you can't go, that pretty much means you can't keep up with an 8-year-old girl. So, you know, you might want to consider that. All right, I've been bragging about you. Don't let me down.
Okay. What do I say?
Well, just say what you remember about the trip.
It was cool, and I liked it. And every time we went to a village, they had very little. But seeing how happy they were, it made me happy, too.
Well, my God, I had several God moments. First of all, was just being part of this team. We really got close, and we had church service at all of our camps that we went to. And we went to one service, and they literally shook a concrete floor shouting for God. And they serve the same God we do. And another one I had was... Jones, we had been playing with the villagers and playing soccer or football, football and baseball and just playing with the kids in general. And anyway, it was extremely hot that day, and Jones had been drinking a lot of water. It was incredibly hot. And anyway, he set his water bottle down, and this little girl runs up and grabs his bottle and disappears into the village. So, you know, we think it's gone. And anyway, in a few minutes, this little girl brings this girl brings back water that's contaminated for Jones to drink. We had come to help them, not them to help us. But that was my God moment. So.
And I don't know if you know the significance of that, but in Nicaragua, we take our own water bottles out, and we can't drink any of the water unless it comes from one certain place in our camp. And we put it in the freezer, and we take it out. And we had all about went down, me, Lee, Jones, we'd all about went down from not drinking water. So we ran out, and this little girl, like I said, goes off, takes a water bottle, and comes back with this water for Jones. And then we get in the truck, and I'm like, Jones, you drinking water? He goes, he's got this full thing. He's like, yeah, I can't drink it. I'm like, well, why not? And he goes, I can't talk about it right now. I can't drink it. I'm like, well, what? He's a little girl gave it to him. I'm like, well, pour it out. He's like, I can't. And he wouldn't pour that water out because it was almost like holy water, you know. You know, he wasn't about to pour out this little girl's water because it meant so much. Because here we were bringing vitamins and food and vegetable soup, and this little girl comes up with is you know, just one of those moments like here.
Yeah, that was crazy. I guess I'll finish the story, but it just almost needs to be backtracked. But yeah, so this you know, this little girl comes up and she hands me this ball of water, and I really thought, you know, you put something down and they say something to you in Spanish, and I don't speak, like, any Spanish that I spoke was definitely not usable on this trip. And so this little girl says something to me in Spanish, and I'm just like, all right, do whatever you want, you know. And, I mean, I brought stuff with me, and I've got more than I need at home, so I just take it and do whatever you want with it. And I really did think that it was gone. And so this little girl comes back holding this water, and I'm sitting here, and, like, sweat's pouring off of me, and I can, like, almost to the point where you could hide tears. You know, it's just, it's hot outside, and I'm about to break, just, like, about to be broken, and I'm walking around, and I'm just keeping it together. I've got it, and I move my hands when I get a little nervous, and, you know, whenever it's time to, it's like almost I'm trying to grab for somebody's hand, you know, just to keep it all together. And this little girl comes up and holds my hand, and that was it. It was all over right then. And it was the funniest thing, though, because I was sitting here, and it was like 150 degrees outside, and I was crying, and this sweat pouring off of me carrying this bottle of water, and this little girl's just looking up at me like, what in the world is wrong with you? So she lets go of my hand and goes finds Travis and walks with him all the way up there. Golly, talk about having your heart broken. That was really, it's pretty incredible. For somebody to take, the only thing that she had to give was a bottle of water, and she so freely gave it. And it was amazing. I had so many God moments, but I really don't know that the lasting impression that I had was till we got back to the States. And Travis told me, Travis really took me under his wing and just kind of, he's like, now don't expect people to understand because they won't unless they've been here. And I said, all right. And I can't sing Travis's praises enough. God really uses him. But I'm walking around in my, you know, if you get stuck in the way you do things, well, for me anyway, it's however, like if I've got 12 hours of daylight, then I'm going to try to put 13 hours worth of work into it. And it's just, that's what you do. It's what we're geared to do. And something I learned down there is that, you know, here at home, if we do 12 hours of quality work, then we have that in our little personal achievement bank. We've got this done, correct? Good job. We get to do it again tomorrow. Awesome. But if you're not careful, you really get that mindset about everything you do. And whenever you're able to visit somewhere that doesn't work like that, and that understands that, like, that, you know, and so the parable of the seed sower, like, all the different soil types, some of the seed that gets sown is eaten by birds, and some is drowned out by weeds. But the soil type, you know, what's set in fertile soil, it grows and it produces 60 or 100 fold. But regardless, I mean, if you're fertile soil, it takes time for your roots to develop. And, like, what I was really trying to do until my eyes were opened was I was just trying to put more you can, I'm going to grow my roots more in one day, but that's in God's hands. Like, your roots grow as much as they do. Period. The end. So that was really what I took away from this trip is, it's not how much you can do, but it's what you do in your day. Like, if you're walking along and saying, "Oh, man, I got to get this, and this done," but you miss that person that's walking lost in this world without knowing anything that's going on, but you still get your 12 productive hours in. You know, for some reason we have condemned this thought of putting something off. Like, but we can't see the forest for the trees, though. Like, you know, work can wait. God's word cannot. Like, keep that. That's definitely my God moment for the week. Like, don't read a whole page. Read a sentence and really know it. Keep your eyes open for what God says to you. And He's got a lot to say. That's the best part about it. That's why the word is living and breathing. It says something different every time. You can read the same sentence every day for the rest of your life, and it would say something different. And that's what I took away from this whole trip, is keep it in perspective and open your eyes.
Hi, I'm Tabitha. Can you hear me? Okay. I just realized on the walk up here that I probably should have planned something to say. So if you would smile and nod when I'm talking, just to make sure, you know, I feel better about myself. Honestly, this wasn't my first mission trip. So going into a third world country, I kind of knew what to expect. So the initial shock factor wasn't really what got to me this time. That was still there, but I didn't feel it the way that I did maybe on the first trip. For me, it was more of an internal revitalization, I guess you'd say. I remember on the first day, I prayed to God, and I said, literally, I remember this prayer, break my heart and do it even if it hurts. And He did, and it did hurt. I guess I just learned a lot about myself. I'm really independent, and that's not always a great thing. I don't like to rely on other people, and I don't like to ask for help. And this week, God reminded me that I do need Him. There's something I read this past week that said, we're all human, we're all broken, and we all need Jesus. And that rang true so much for me this past week. So it's more of an internal, just bringing back my joy, bringing back my my desire for God in my life. Not that I didn't have that, I guess, but just reminding me of my need for Him and my need to serve Him.
My name is Ashley, and like Tabitha, this was not my first trip. I actually went last year to Nicaragua. I finally got on a plane, and it was good. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we've done in the villages. Morning, it was kind of depends what needed to be done, and then we'd have lunch, and we'd go out to a village. And at the village, we would feed them food, like we'd make a big pot and serve them. And Tabitha and I actually got to serve alongside each other and take the bowls, fill them up, and give them out to the children. And that is truly a blessing when you get to see hungry people fed. And not only are they fed, like, they're also fed spiritually, and that's really awesome to see because we talk to them afterwards. And there's also a time that Mike's brother Lee, Tabitha, and I got together, and we done like a Bible trivia with them to try to get their stories going. And then there's times that I saw Jones talking, and he would tell stories, and it was just really awesome to see that. And we just pretty much go in and share the gospel and play with them and make stuff and let them know that we're there to share Christ and His love, and that's why we're there, and to feed them and just do good for them.
Come on. I did make notes. I don't want to have a Ralph Stanley moment. Now, I soon realized when I got to Nicaragua that I was probably 20 years older than the oldest person there. So I was impressed of how well organized the trip was, and the team at Because We Care Ministries was how efficient they were. We arrived in Managua on Friday night, and of course we slept there Friday night at a motel right across from the airport. And Saturday morning, you know, we ate breakfast, packed our stuff, and they came in. They had the bus ready, everything ready, and Zoom. We went up to Samatia to the I call it the mission house or mission compound. And that very day, we went out to the villages, which was a new experience for me. We fed the people. They played with the kids. Don gave a message to the children. And, you know, just everything was just clockwork. A typical day in Nicaragua was we got up at 6 a.m. Don was a drill sergeant type, but he beat on the doors and got you up. We had devotion. We had prayer. We had breakfast. Then we were off to work. And just whatever needed to be done, like two dump truck loads of dirt with 5-gallon buckets and shovels. And I soon learned that Don worked from the neck up, and we worked from the neck down. So I did learn that, because they've been down there a long time, and they know what they're doing. And, you know, at nighttime when we came in, we had our God moment. We went around the room and shared a God moment for each one of us. We had prayer. We had supper. Then we had a journal, a workbook, which we filled out each and every day. But, you know, I just have to brag on the great mission team I have it because we care ministries. Truck drivers, the cooks, the interpreters, they had a staff doctor, not only meet their spiritual needs, but their physical needs, their medical needs. And I was also very, very proud of our team, that not including me, but Jones and Ashley and Tabitha and Domingo. We would sit, when they go to the radio, they would play, and we would sit back at the compound and listen to them. They sound like recording artists out of Nashville. So, and we grew a great bond, you know, between each. I got to meet some people that I never met before, but good experience. But, you know, bottom line is Because We Care Ministries, I think, was a very, very well-organized organization. They, if you give any money, it don't go to a big board of directors. It goes to where it needs. They go out each and every day. They feed the people. They play with the kids. They build churches. They train pastors. They send them back out. And, you know, the word of God is being spread down there. Thank you.
I encourage you this week. The other team members will be here second service. We'll put them both online so you can hear all the stories. There's just so many stories from this week that I could just go on and on. Jones and Ashley and Tabitha led worship in all these villages, and singing and praising and seeing God just do so many incredible things through them was exciting to see. I've been about 5 times now, and every time it just God impacts you in an incredible way. And just seeing what God was doing in the lives of everybody else was worth the trip, just to see God kind of reach down and grab hold of each person and say, this is what you were created for. Acts 1:8 was kind of our theme verse, that you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that really is why we do missions. It starts right here in our Jerusalem, Galax. It starts right here. It spreads out in the surrounding area. Then it keeps going into the surrounding people groups, and then it goes to the ends of the world. These guys didn't mention, on one day we went to a village called La Palma. 2 weeks ago, a backpacking team went in there, and they were the first white people that village had ever seen. We were way up in the mountains, northern Nicaragua, in the middle of nowhere. But some of the most beautiful part of the world you'll ever see, just up in the mountains. We drove, and some of these pictures were showed the ride up there, where we had to cross 2 or 3 rivers, and it was just incredible to see how we got there. I'm riding in the back of pickup trucks. It's not, you know, people have asked me before, well, is it safe to go? If you like riding in the back of pickup trucks, and it's a little different. It's a third world country, so it is a little bit of a different experience. But we go into this village and had church service with people who really have never seen anybody from the outside before. A 3-hour ride to get to them, just straight up a mountain almost. And it was just, it was powerful. We got there, Travis, they said two of the people want to be baptized. Don said, Travis, why don't you go down with the local pastor and help do the baptism? Travis like, okay. He takes off and they said, oh, it's a 20-minute walk.
As long, and it was hard, but I wasn't about to stop because this little girl in front of me had on these little pretty church shoes, and a lady behind me is carrying her baby playing with her cell phone, and they're just like, yeah, this is just a walk to the river. So I'm like, okay. And they left us coming up, they're like, they were gone, and we kept stopping. But it was one of those when we were at Oakland School, Don Gillette first came here, and he said. He showed a picture of these mountains. He said, I want to go into these mountains. I need people to go. I'm like, sign me up. I want to go in those mountains. I never got the mountains. We rode around in the back of a truck. And, you know, I was kind of resigned to it. But walking down this trail with me and Pam Gillette, and that's the only North Americans there, and about 20. I was in the back of a truck at one point with about 20 Nicaraguans and a Toyota. And it just hit me that I finally got to those mountains, and God got me there. It took 6 years. But God finally got me there. And, you know, it's just another little, that was my God moment for today, I think. That was just my little lesson about, you know, God's got to arrange things and work them out before you get there. But he'll get you there if you just hold on. Mm-hmm. And so I finally got where I wanted to go. And the baptism is kind of they all thought that'd be my God moment. That's kind of like doing business, you know. It's our job as disciples to make more disciples, and that's just what we do.
Another God moment real quick, and kind of wrapping things up, but Jones and Brian Dennis went too, and they were playing with the kids a lot, and they kind of got missing for a little bit. We were like, where are they? And they like somebody said, well, they took one of their translators with them, and we're like, okay, so Pam and I went and tried to, and like, let's go find them, see what, you know, if they need help or if any. We kind of turned the corner and looked down, and there's a group of Nicaraguan men kneeling down and praying with Jones and Brian, and come to find out, a couple of guys were drinking.
Yeah.
And they started a friendly discussion there, and next thing you know, Jones and Brian are leading two men to Christ on the side of the road. And just, I mean, and the whole week is just experiences like that, where you just get opportunities to share Christ with kids, to share Christ with adults, to speak on the radio and share your testimonies. And I think what a trip does like this, it really opens you. It opens your spiritual eyes to say, okay, God, you're at work all around us. How can I be a part of this? And so all these guys, they kind of took a step of faith, not knowing really what to expect, not knowing what we were going to get into. But here's our challenge to you. What's your next step of faith? You know, you've heard from some guys this morning that shared about a testimony of being involved in a life group and getting involved in that type of community. You've heard stories from us about this mission trip, about how God just kind of used us to reach out. And really, I mean, I know we go and we took medicine, we took food, and we served the people there in Nicaragua. But they were a blessing back to us, too. And what it does, it prepares us to come and serve here. And so my question is, what is your next step? What is God calling you to do? It may be right here in our community. Maybe your big step of faith is to get involved in this service day. Maybe it's to join a life group. Maybe it's to start a new ministry. Maybe it's to go and share Christ with your coworker. But what's holding you back? Acts 4, one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. And and I love Acts 4:13. We're seeing Peter and John are before the council, and they're being questioned about everything that's going on. And Acts 4:13 says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. And what you've seen this morning and heard are stories of people who have been with Jesus, people whose lives have been changed, who have experienced Christ in a powerful way, so that when they get put in a situation where Christ can come out, Christ does come out. And so, again, I hope hearing testimonies like this is helpful to you. I hope it helps you, because when you hear testimonies like this, it lets you know these are ordinary people. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ who have just chosen to trust God day by day, moment by moment. And so this morning, that's how I want to just end, is just, what is your next step? What's God calling you to do? Would you guys pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much this morning. We thank you for these testimonies of lives that have been changed. I thank you that the Holy Spirit indwells us, that it lives inside of us, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is inside of us. The same Spirit that gave Peter and Paul boldness to stand up and preach, that same Holy Spirit lives in us. And because of that, Lord, we have nothing to fear. So whatever you're calling us to do, Lord, may we have the courage to just to step out and do it. For some people here, it may be, I just need to get part of a life group like this because I need that accountability. I need that support. I need to get in God's Word. For some people, it may be, oh man, I just want to get more involved in service and mission. And for some people, Lord, you're just calling them right now to come home. You're just calling them to kneel down at the foot of the cross and say, I need you, Jesus. This is what I need in my life. What these people shared about, I don't have. And if that's you this morning, I can't go through this service without giving you an opportunity to respond to the gospel. I believe the gospel is powerful. And I believe when we hear stories of change like this, it grows something inside of us to respond to Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. So as every head's bowed this morning, let me just ask you. The scripture is clear that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. That's the promise we have in scripture. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one, his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so if you're here in this place this morning, and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never given your life to Christ, you've never acknowledged him as your Lord and your Savior, you've never asked for the forgiveness of your sins, then will you do that right now? Just cry out to Jesus. You could say, you could just pray whatever's on your heart, but if it's just to pray out, God, please forgive me of my sin. Lord, I know I've messed up. I know I need you in my life. I thank you for what you did on the cross, that you died on the cross so that I could have forgiveness of my sins and I could receive new life. And Lord, because of that, I want to ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. I want to put my faith, my trust in you. And from this point forward, Lord, I want to walk for you. I want to serve you. I want to live for you because you died for me. And if that's you in this place this morning, if that's your prayer, then Jesus will save you. Thank you, God. Just again, for the many testimonies, the many examples of how you're at work here in our community and around the world, we're just thankful we get to play a small part in your story. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we close out this morning, guys, I want to just ask that you've got response cards, those communication cards on the seat back in front of you. If there's anything you'd like to let us know, a commitment you've made, a prayer request you have, would you fill that out? And as always, we'll be over to the side. We're going to close out with a song about the Holy Spirit. So if you guys stand up with us, we'll close out. And thank you for everything this morning. Yeah.
trip to Nicaragua. I thank you for how much it blessed the people that went. I pray that you just give us the strength to go out into our mission field, Lord, our mission field here. I pray that you just help us to be courageous, to be dauntless, and